Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. This week's conversation is going to be a little bit different, and you can probably hear it in the tenor of my voice, a little bit maybe more subdued, and I'll get into the what and why in a second. Some housekeeping notes, start of a conversation every week on Mondays on the podcast. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to head to my website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. Or hit me up on Twitter. We can continue the conversation. I'm at MeehanEDU. For this week, I want to talk about the power of being a role model and what it means to be a person whose legacy as an educator will endure long after your time in the classroom with the student has ended. John Steinbeck, author of The Grapes of Wrath, and of Mice and Men, among other books, said famously that he considered himself the great unsigned manuscript of all of the teachers he had ever had. And he added a poem called "Like Captured Fireflies" is the name of it. You can look it up. He said about, you know, he could see himself as the great unsigned manuscript of all the great teachers he had ever had. He says, "What deathless power lies in that legacy and that impact." So today I want to talk about an educator who changed my life. And today's podcast is going to be pretty hard. So on Friday night, I was out with a friend of mine who's working on a book, and that's amazing. And she is a music author. She's working on a book about teaching music, and that's great. And in it, in passing, back and forth we were going in conversation over dinner. The book's not out yet, so they're in the manuscript phase and, you know, the nerves. And we're talking about putting together, you know, a release strategy so people can get the book in their hands. That could maybe be, you know, social media or podcasts or blogs, you know, online content, whatever it is. And she had mentioned the idea of interviewing other teachers of music, just on a regular, ongoing basis, whether that was for blog content or for videos and vlogs. I think it's a great idea. You know, raising awareness of music education is a huge, it is an objective good thing for this world. And I said, yeah, I mean, I could think of a whole bunch of people I could even put you in touch with, you know, that we're not in the same school, but I know a whole bunch of people who teach music. I'm married to a music teacher. I know people, of course, in my school who are music teachers. One of my best friends, Tim, is a strings orchestra teacher, and he's, you know, immensely talented. And so I was just, like, rattling off names. And this is Friday night, and I had said, I also know, you know, people who worked on the AP Music Theory exam. They were question writers and question readers, and they were my music teachers in high school. And I mentioned my name, the name of Mr. David Lockhart, who was my select ensemble teacher when I was in high school. I had Mr. Lockhart when I was a sophomore as part of the Madrigal Singers, which is like an audition choir. And then my junior year, Madrigal Singers and the show choir, and so a jazz ensemble and like a chamber choir, both audition groups. He also was the music director, vocal music for the school musicals. And then on Friday, on my senior year, I had him for madrigals and show choir, of course the musicals, and he did individual lessons too, like one-on-one. He was the chair of the music program at North Hutterton High School, where I went to school, and I graduated in the class of 2001, and I owe a lot of my own teaching experience to my time with Mr. Lockhart. In my book, my thank you pages, you'll see that Mr. Lockhart's name appears there. Ironically, it's spelled wrong. It's spelled like Gilderoy Lockhart from the Harry Potter series. His own spelling of it has no H. So I mentioned Dave. You can see I'm kind of oscillating between like teacher version of me, Dave, right, and student version of me, Mr. Lockhart, because I have tremendous respect for him. Always did. And I mentioned him in passing in my conversation on Friday night. Hey, you know what? I can put you in touch with a whole bunch of people who could be great guests for your podcast. Teachers in my school, teachers who I know, or music teachers. I mentioned Dave Lockhart as an example. And on Saturday, I returned home to receive news that Dave had passed away. That's hard. I had known about it because when my book released last year, or I guess last summer, Dave was one of the first people to reach out to me on Facebook. And he was very, very kind, very, very gracious, and very excited on my behalf. And he said, congratulations, Mr. Author, man. You've done it. You achieved it. And I said, oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you, Mr. Lockhart. I'm so excited. He had retired. He was 64 years old this year. So he retired early. He retired, in his late 50s. And he had moved to Delaware, not too far from where I now live and work in Maryland, D.C., Virginia. And I said, let me get you a signed copy of the book. I would love to because your name's in it. I couldn't have done it without your influence. Because we'd kept in touch casually through Facebook over the course of the past couple of years since his retirement. About 10 years back, a whole bunch of us put together a big old, Mr. Holland's Opus style retirement party where everyone who had ever had him as a music student came back and threw a big party. And unfortunately, I was unable to attend because of work commitments that brought me out of state that day. But hundreds of people came back, and it was an amazing thing, a very powerful thing. The video of it and those things made its way through the rounds, and I had the chance to tell him. When I knew I couldn't make it, I wrote a letter, and I said, hey, I just want to let you know that they say your favorite class is the one that you like the most, and your best class is where you learn the most. And I said, you were both of those things. I'm a better person for having learned it with you, and I'll never forget that. I was very glad that I said that. And he was very grateful to hear it. But this past summer when I connected with him, he says, hey, I really appreciate it. It would brighten my spirits. And I said, yeah, you got it, man. He says, I'm sure you're familiar with my situation. And I said, I was not. So, I did some Facebook sleuthing and I clicked through pictures of, anything that had happened and whatnot. And I noticed he looked tired in a lot of his photos. He was always thinning hair, so I didn't really notice much about that. But he said it via a text via Facebook Messenger. He said, yeah, I'm making a big statement of it. I haven't gone public with it yet, but I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it felt like a death sentence when he got that diagnosis just a few, months prior to our conversation at the early part of the summer. And I was floored. I mean, they say you should never meet your heroes because they're only going to disappoint you. And Dave Lockhart is the opposite of that. He was a teacher who I looked up to and I admired as a student. And then as an educator, I looked sideways down the line to other educators. And immediately, as an educator on a peer level, we connected and we resonated. And I thought, what powerful enough connection. I talk about with deathless power, right? He's a rare sort of person who transcended. With apologies to F. Scott Fitzgerald and The Great Gatsby, he was the rare sort of person you meet, if you're lucky, maybe once or twice in a lifetime. A rare sort of educator who believes in you, who inspires you, and you can see his passion for his craft was just palpable. His enthusiasm, I say it all the time about what great teaching does, but his enthusiasm was infectious. He convinced you that you could do it, and he had you believe in yourself. And not just when I was a kid, when I was young and I was impressionable, but as a grown-up, it meant so much to me to receive the validation and support of somebody who I respected the hell out of. And so we talked on and off through the summer, and I said, let me know you know, he was a treatment. And I said, I can drive up. I'm a grown up, and I could bring a book if you need somebody who just gives you a ride. If you, you know, give your family a rest for the day, spend some time. And he was very gracious and, you know, very, 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 you know, appreciative of it. But he said he's like, there'll be a time for that. But right now I'm just doing family stuff and working through that. And that was the last time we talked. I had wanted to make those trips and, you know, be there for him. But I think, I don't get emotional when I talk about it. I think the teacher in him, even though I'm a grown up, right? Like, I'm almost 40, and I am the age now that he was when he taught me, right? But I think the teacher in him did not want a former student of his to have to see and handle that in that way. And of course, I would have done it in a heartbeat. Oh my gosh, I was glad to offer, and even glad that he considered it and was so gracious in opening up to me. But I talk about, you know, the impact that we have as educators, and we don't know the ripple effects that we send through our students and the lives of the people that we touch. You know, in a lifetime, if you have 180 school days, your classes, let's say 43 to 45 minutes a day, you're only seeing your students for like 160 hours of their life. Now, that's different if you're an elementary school teacher, certainly, because you're seeing the same group of students, you know, for 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day. But you're talking about less than 1,000 hours in a lifetime. It's different if you're a four-year teacher like Dave was, you know, a specialist teacher. And if you do coaching or outside of school stuff, then you have about 1,000 hours over the course of 4 years on the nights and the weekends. And for me, Dave had two kids, and one was a friend of mine who was a year older than me, and one was a friend of mine who was his daughter was a year younger than me. So I kind of found myself looking to him as a role model, as an educator, as a friend later in life, and even as like a surrogate parent in my time in the high school, because he had kids who were my age, so he looked out for me. And I think about that often. And then you know, here we are 20 years later, and life happens. You can't bank on anything, and taken from us way too soon. And not just because he was a phenomenal educator. I mean, the people who've studied under him read like a who's who, you know, as a music and performance art group. We've had people who sing at the Metropolitan Opera, who sing as professional singers, recording artists, people who have performed in all sorts of venues all around the world. We're talking about people who are on Barack Obama's list of people to listen to. You know, people who are nominated for Emmy Awards, or I guess Grammy Awards, right? That's the one for that one. People who perform at the Tonys. We have people who write for major television programs. People who've gone on to teach music. People who've gone on to write music. People who've gone on to record and become really successful musicians in their own right. You know, all this is amazing, but I think even more amazing than that is the people who have gone on to do none of that and still point directly back to Dave Lockhart and their time under his instruction as formative and transformative in their own educational history. In Dave's passing, his family made note of his, you know, his very brief eulogy, I guess, on the website, on Facebook, and included the phrase which has really struck me and stayed with me. It says, "Dave lived by a few basic truths. Music lifts the soul of humanity. Honesty, truthfulness, kindness, responsibility, and punctuality should be central qualities of character. The love of family, friends, and nature is vital." And I think that's really powerful. Talk about the deathless power that lies in the hands of such an educator. My heart is sad today. My heart is very heavy at the loss of a mentor and a friend. But I think about how much power we have as educators to affect and shape the lives of people who come into contact with us, even if they go on to never do the thing that we taught them how to do. Right? Maybe they're not singers. Maybe they're not musicians. I certainly am a English teacher and a speaker and a writer, which has very little to do with what I learned choir class. And yet I think it has everything to do with it too. I'm a better person for it, person of character, person who respects punctuality and honesty, and showing up and being part of a team. And it really does stay with me as an educator that we have such power to really shape and affect the lives of the people who come with us and come before us and come after us too. So today I ask you to keep in your thoughts or your prayers, if you're a praying type, the Lockhart family, lift them up, and look to your own students and think about in 20 years, you know, when we're inevitably called home, what will your students say about you? What will your legacy be? How will you be remembered by those who knew you from your classroom self? And then if we don't like the way that looks, what can we do to change it, to shape it, so that the world's a little bit better for the work that we've done? Thanks again. We'll see you guys next week. I appreciate it. Back to the regularly scheduled program.